Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Hola Hoax. Well, it's been 2 years since we've been conducting our independent research on World War II, independent, that is, of our Jew-controlled government. What we have found is there were no gas chambers, 6 million Jews did not die in the concentration camps, and Hitler's final solution was a plan to export, deport, relocate, and transport, as opposed to exterminating all of the Jews out of the white man's homelands. The cost of this incredible hoax to the white race has been enormous. Whereas in 1950, white people comprised 20% of the world's population, we now only comprise 8%.
Are we ever going to hear the truth from any Jew? Or are we always going to be subjected to the whining, twisting, mean, trivializing, nasally, Brooklyn-accented,
"They didn't know they were attacking the liberty. Israel is innocent. We don't know who killed JFK. It was a magic bullet coming from one lone assassin, which made 8 sudden directional changes to create 3 wounds in 2 men." This is what the Jews will tell us. "We've sealed the records because you are too fragile emotionally, American citizens, to know more than what we tell you." And as far as the Waco incident, well, that wasn't a Jewish operation. Just because it looked like one and was conducted by a Jew, Wesley Clark, who's presently running for president. This is what we have to listen to over and over and endless and ad nauseum and forever. And it has to stop. We just have to stop listening to the lies that are coming from the nasally whined, heavily accented voices of the Israeli Jew. The Jews have been lying about everything. They lied about the assassination of JFK. They lied about the Mossad-type operation against the Koreshians in Waco, Texas. They lied about what happened in both of the Gulf Wars. They lied about what happened in 9/11, and we know it's the same people telling the lies because the modus operandi is the same. They always stop the investigation, seal all of the records, and then tell us, the American people, that we're too psychologically fragile to know the truth, so the records must be sealed. The Jews have been lying since the time of David in Egypt. David, remember, was sold into slavery by his brothers when he somehow got the attention of the Pharaoh. Oh, I know how he got the attention of the Pharaoh. One of the Pharaoh's cook was in the same prison with Joseph. And Joseph told the cook, "Hey, tell your Pharaoh that I'm a Jew and I know how to work the people." And the Pharaoh listened to Joseph, so then Joseph put his plan into implementation. He lied, of course, and said that he was a great prophet and that he could envision 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, and therefore the Pharaoh should put 7 years of wheat into the granary, and then it would be there for the people during the 7 years of famine. But the truth was, it was a scam perpetrated on the Egyptians by Joseph. He got himself appointed as head of the granaries and also head of the irrigation canals in Egypt. And so during the first 7 years, he just let things go normally. Egypt was a very well-run country with plenty of water coming from the Nile to keep the grains growing nicely. And that's why it was such a beautiful, healthy country. But what Joseph did was, knowing that he was going to divert the water within 7 years, he bought everybody's grains very cheap, and he gave them paper money in exchange for the grain. And then he filled up the granary full of grain, and then after 7 years of amassing all this grain for this worthless paper money that said 5 bushels of wheat or 6 bushels of wheat, when the granaries were full, Joseph the Jew diverted the water from the Nile so that now the grain could not grow. And so the people began to starve. And he started selling the grain to the starving Egyptians at, of course, a very inflated price. Pretty soon the Egyptians ran out of money, paper money, and so they had to start cutting off portions of their property. And by the time the scheme was over, Joseph had gotten a hold of all of the money, all of the gold, all of the property, and all of the grain was used up, and everybody was happy. So Joseph, then he had his Egyptian, his Jewish people steal gold and jewels and things, diamonds and stuff, from the Egyptians when they, according to their history, escaped slavery. But the truth is, it was just time for them to pack up their things and find another victim. Why do the Jews lie so much? Why is everything that comes out of the mouth of a Jew a lie? That's our problem. We don't know who hit us in 9/11, and because we've been lied to, just as we were lied to after the Waco incident, where all of the sensitive documents were sealed out of view of the American public, like all the documents having to do with JFK's assassination were sealed out of view of the American public, like all of the documentation having to do with 9/11 was sealed out of the view of the American public. We don't know who attacked us, but we do know that whoever attacked us in 9/11 probably is the same entity that attacked the Waco people and assassinated JFK, because we see the same modus operandi. We see the same horrible hit against our country's national security, followed by a cover-up, a huge cover-up. So we have to look and see who's doing this to us. Who is this rogue element in our government? Who has their tentacles so comfortably enmeshed in our own government? And it can only be the Jews. It can only be that the Jews have got a hold of the CIA, have got a hold of the FBI. Because what we know is that it was not the Muslims. This we know. If it were the Muslims, we'd be allowed to look at the information. It wouldn't be kept hidden from us. Now look at some other clues. Instead of investigating 9/11, what did Michael Chertoff, head Jew, who was assigned to investigate 9/11, do? He did not investigate 9/11. He gave safe passage to Israel to three Israeli spy rings who had set up headquarters here in the United States. He used his power as a Jew and as head of national security to bring his little covey of doves home and make them safe. This is not what an American does. This is what a Jew did. Michael Chertoff, a Jew, head of Homeland Security, who then turned around and jailed Matt Hale, David Duke, and Ernst Zundel, all for the same crime, pointing to Israel and saying the Jew has control of our government and is strangling America. That's why we think it's the Jew, because it is the Jew. Take a look at Waco. Who commandeered Waco in that Mossad-type operation? Presidential candidate Wesley Clark, a Jew. We see it with our own eyes. We see the bulldozers going in and firebombing innocent white Christians. What more do we need? That was Florence Henderson. You know, the lady that was in the Brady Bunch, that beautiful, slender, blue-eyed blonde lady in her middle age. We saw her on that big TV serial. Who would have imagined that she played the original Lori in Oklahoma? Isn't she beautiful? Oh, you got to hear Frank Sinatra singing Polka Dot and Moonbeams. It's incredible. It's about white girls, how much he loves them.
A country dance was being held in a garden. I felt a bump and heard an, oh, beg your pardon. Suddenly I saw polka dots and moonbeams all around the pug-nosed dream. The music started, and was I the perplexed one? I held my breath and said, may I have the next one? In my frightened arms, polka dots and moonbeams sparkled on a pug-nosed dream. There were questions in the eyes of other dancers as we floated over the floor. There were questions, but my heart knew all the answers, and perhaps a few things more. Now in a cottage built of lilacs and laughter, I know the meaning of the words ever after, and I'll always see polka dots and moonbeams when I kiss the pug-nosed dream.
Well, that definitely works for me. How about you, ladies and gentlemen? You going to go for that polka dot and pug-nosed dream of Frank Sinatra's? Well, I'm just trying to figure out why we went to war against the Nazis and how idealistic we all were as a people. Isn't this cute? This is the Andrews Sisters. We so much believed in that war. Couldn't wait to go and shoot those Germans. You know that I think about 600,000 white people got murdered in that war, that fratricidal Second World War, who didn't serve anybody except the Jews. You know who won? The Jews won. They got Israel and trillions of dollars, eternal reparations from the Germans, and really, really put a wedge between Americans and Germans. Did you know that after the Second World War, we were over 50% German in America? Over 50% of Americans were German and 95% were white. But after the Second World War, the Jew had their way with us, and that was the end of the white race. Yeah, 55%. We had 55% German population in America at the time of the Second World War. And then you know what the Jews did? They made us change our immigration policy so that instead of bringing educated, cultured white Christians into the country, we can't get educated white Christians into this country because our new Jew-imposed immigration system only accepts blacks and browns, people who are from Somalia, handicapped people who have no way of contributing to society. It's really sad. We have to make it our first priority to make sure that irresponsible rogue nations don't get a hold of nuclear weapons. And that's exactly what Bush is not doing. That's what Bush should have done the minute we were attacked in 9/11. But since Bush is under the control of Israel, Bush played into the hands of Israel, who is a rogue terrorist state and is the fifth largest nuclear power in the world, by going to war not with Israel, who actually was the attacker, but against the attacker's enemies, Iraq. So we have to change our direction all the way. We have to completely turn around. We have to pull out of Iraq. We have to dismantle Israel of her nuclear weapons, and we have to dismantle all of the other irresponsible countries so that only civilized, sophisticated countries
end up with nuclear weapons. That's the only way we're going to avoid a nuclear war. To this end, it is my sincere suggestion that we nuke Israel. I think we should drop a couple of little nukes right over Dimona, Israel, which is where Israel houses her nuclear weapons. That would completely defang Israel and would be a very good start toward world peace. See what I mean about nuking Israel, why it's such a good idea? If we could just put a stop, if we could just get rid of Israel's nuclear weapons, that would be one of the major rogue terrorist states who is threatening world peace with the irresponsible use of these weapons. Just look at how Israel's using the other weapons she has. How Israel attacks the Palestinians, expanding her borders. Every decade she takes another 50% of Palestine's property and uses gassing and target practicing on the babies. The Jews are really primitive terrorists, and we simply can't tolerate them anymore being the fifth largest nuclear power.
The Jews are crazy. They are a crazy people. They've so mongrelized themselves with every race under the sun and then some that they don't have any sanity anymore. That's why they hear God talking to them out loud and ordering them to commit mass murder all the time. They're psycho, nutbags, serial-killing bastards from hell. It's as if they'd been taking drugs for 1,000 years. And drugs are bad.
Drugs is bad because it atrophies the frontal lobes, that part of the brain that does ethical reasoning. That part of the brain that the white man has in superabundance and the black man has almost none of. That's why white people especially have to be careful not to take drugs. A white person can't live without his frontal lobes. Black people have been doing it for millions of years. But the flooding of the civilized countries with drugs is part of the plot against civilization to destroy us. And individually and as a group, we need to fight drugs with everything we have. We're definitely the superior race on the planet. There's no race that comes close to us in power. And we have to think in terms of exterminating other races, because if we don't, they're going to continue exterminating us. White people are losing their position in the world population. In 1950, the world's population was comprised one-fifth of white people. That's 20%. Now we're down to 8%. You think we're just going to walk into the dark night of extermination placidly and peacefully? No. If the other races don't allow us to live and live decently, we're going to exterminate them before we let them exterminate us.
I could say Bella, Bella, even seven derbar, each language only helps me tell you how grand you are. I've tried to explain, bow me a fist to shame, so kiss me and say that you will understand.
They won't let us have our own neighborhoods. They're making it so we can't even reproduce. People, in order to preserve their race, they have to have a place where they can live so that their young men and women can meet each other, so they can fall in love and get married and reproduce. They won't even let us have our neighborhoods. If you try to keep a black person from moving into your neighborhood, you get thrown in jail. That's a part of the extermination campaign.
September, and seal it with a kiss.
Whites have very, very little in common with Jews as far as the DNA is concerned and the markers. It's true that Jews look a lot like white people because they try to make themselves look like white people. But the DNA experts are figuring out that the only reason Jews look like white people is because within their own group they breed for white characteristics. But the actual DNA of the Jew is very, very different from the DNA of the European and can be seen by the scientists to be Jewish DNA as opposed to white DNA. The difference between a white man and a Jew is much, much different from the DNA from one Jew to another Jew. Even the farthest, most diverse Jew is much closer to his fellow Jew when it comes to DNA than he is to the European.
Nel blu, dipinto di blu, e che dici di stare lassù? E volavo, volavo, venice con alte del sole, con coro più su. Mentre mondo pian piano spariva lontano lassù. Una musica dolce suonare soltanto per me.
This is Dean Martin, ladies and gentlemen, one of our fine Mediterranean Aryans, a descendant from the once noble Roman intelligentsia, which was in its heyday entirely white. Dean Martin, obviously, is the victim of some race mixing with the Arabs, but he's still beautiful.
Nel blu, dipinto di blu, venite di stare lassù. Nel blu, dipinto di blu.
I don't think Israel has a conscience. I don't think Jews have the right kind of mental apparatus to have a conscience. It's not that they lack frontal lobes, because they don't. They're an Asian people, and they have very good minds when it comes to calculating and imitating, but they don't have an ethical sense. They just don't have the white man's ethical sense. What kind of people would think that God talks to them out loud and gives them orders to exterminate whole tribes of and villages of people just because he's in a bad mood? Only a totally psychotic people with an imagination that God speaks to them out loud and is going to be pleased when they exterminate, you know, such huge numbers of people. The same God that apparently enjoys the howls and cries of their sacrificial victims. Of course these people have no conscience. They don't even know that God is love.
Memories pressed between the pages of my mind. Memories sweetened through the ages just like wine.
The Germans are among the most beautiful, sexy people in the world. Not only are they tall, slender, with beautiful blonde hair and blue eyes, but they're very cultured, disciplined, and elegant. Naturally, the short, fat, greasy, hook-nosed Jews were very uncomfortable moving into Germany and finding, to their dismay, that the tall beauties around them didn't like them very much. That, coupled with their predisposition from paranoid schizophrenia, set off a lot of red triggers in their heads. Now, we have learned that the Jews, because of their inbreeding and outbreeding, they're the most mongrelized people in the world, have over 250 genetic diseases that are specific to Jews, most of them mental and neurological. That explains why their concept of God is a voice that they can actually hear that tells them to go and kill people, like the Amorites and the Moabites and the Hittites. There's no other religion that I know of where God actually gives people orders to go and commit genocide. But the Jewish God does, because the Jews are in fact insane, and they do actually hear voices. This is the insane race of people who made up all of the stories about the gas chambers, the Jew skin lampshades, the pure Jew fat soap, etc. They are paranoid schizophrenics. They make up things. They are professional victims, professional paranoids. And their imagination is completely berserk. Anybody who examines the grotesqueness, the depravity, the degeneracy of their imaginations would hate them just for having that kind of an imagination. What other people, for example, would make up a story like that Dr. Mengele took two twins and sewed them up to make them appear to be Siamese twins? And blah, 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 I can't even go into the rest because it's so disgusting. But the hideousness of their fairy tales is so, so degenerate that the only explanation is what we have uncovered through genetics. These are a truly insane race of people. They are, in fact, genetically paranoid schizophrenics. It's the same people that got us to go to war against Germany. Only this time, 60 years later, we are in the position of Germany. Our borders are being left open. Our military is being used to fight communism, to fight the Bolsheviks. Only we're fighting on the wrong side right now. We're fighting on the side of the Bolsheviks instead of fighting the Bolsheviks. We need to rethink this. I'm willing to fight for America, always. We need to have homelands designated just for white people, and that should be Western Europe, in fact, all of Europe, all of North America, except for Mexico, who needs that, and Australia. Those are our rightful homelands. The yellows have Asia, the blacks have Africa, the Middle Easterners have the Middle East. And we should have our homelands. Without these homelands, our race will go extinct. So anyone who doesn't understand that America belongs to the white man is the enemy to America. Our country is being used to harm the white man, to destroy the white man, to exterminate the white man, and to further the interests of the Jews. So what we have to do is figure out how to get the Jews out of the control of our country. And in the meantime, do everything we can to arm and seal and protect our own borders, since our government isn't doing it. Our government has left our borders unprotected after we were attacked in 9/11, and it became so abundantly clear that our country was no longer safe. Instead of closing our borders, our government made them even more wide open, and is now saying, oh, everyone can come in. It's okay. We are a loving country. Just walk all over us. Rape the Statue of Liberty at the rate of 1 million illegal entries being made every single year. Just gang rape her. We're loving people. You know, defining love as being a woman who has no self-respect and lies down with everyone who asks her. Since when did that become being a loving person? That's a person who has no capacity for love. In the meantime, our treasury has been emptied of $180 billion. Our service people are spilling their blood on a foreign country, and our borders are left open. So what we have to do is we have to defend our own country. And I suggest that we all go down to the border and figure out what's going down there, because guess what? There is a war going on the border. You're just not being told about it. I think we're being too passive in the situation between us and the Mexicans, who have dedicated themselves to reconquering California, Arizona, Texas, and New Mexico. in a plan which is called Reconquista. We are presently seeing these very aggressive Mexicans coming up from the border with the help of their president, Vicente Fox, in a sincere effort to take our country away from them. And I think maybe I have been too conservative in thinking that we should build a wall. I mean, we love the idea of a wall, don't we, going across our border, our southern border and our northern border, which we could build for a couple of $1 billion for the northern border and a couple of $1 billion for the southern border. But I'm beginning to think what we need to do is drive the Mexicans down into South America completely. And that way, we can just guard the Panama Canal, making it a much easier border. In other words, instead of protecting a 1,000-mile border, we just push the Mexicans down, all the way down through Mexico, force them to go down into past that little tiny bottleneck of the Panama Canal, and then close the Panama Canal to make sure nobody comes up from South America to North America. And that way, we could have all of North America. It would be so much easier to defend. I think that it's a good idea. I think that's fair and just. The Mexicans have dared to offend us by coming over our borders at the rate of over 1 million a year with the help of their terrible president who thinks he can take over our country. I think we need to teach them a thing or two and take over their country. But don't take them over. We drive them out and then take over their country. But doesn't it make sense for America to respond to the invasion of the Mexicans by declaring war on Mexico? I mean, they have essentially declared war on us. We have about 15 million illegal Mexican aliens in our country living off of us, taking jobs away from us. This is an act of war. It doesn't matter that the weapon is breeding as opposed to guns. It's still an act of war. For every illegal alien who comes over to our soil, they either reproduce or bring their uncles, cousins, and aunts, and every one of them ends up bringing 8 more. This is war. I think we should respond in a warlike manner, declare war on Mexico, and exterminate the Mexicans, or at least do what Hitler did to the Jews, which is force them out of the white men's homelands. I'm sure that most of you are aware that the so-called final solution was not a plan to exterminate the Jews. It was a plan to evacuate or deport the Jews, and I think it makes sense. I think we should take over Mexico, drive the Mexicans, not just into Mexico. I'm not just talking anymore about deporting them. Let's drive them right down south, all the way to South America, close off the Panama Canal, make that be our border. That means we have about a 5-mile border to defend instead of a 1,000-mile border to defend. And it's the proper response to the aggressive act of war that we are now suffering from in the form of over 1 million illegal aliens coming across our border with their babies and their cousins and their aunts and their president, Vicente Fox, giving them fanny packs with water and food and medicine, and then somehow convincing our government that we have to put up water stations and food stations and medical stations so that these poor soldiers who have declared war on us can have plenty to eat and drink while they take over our country. Surely that kind of aggression requires a strong response. I suggest we declare war on Mexico, drive the Mexicans into South America, and then we can have a country. Well, I'd like to talk to you about my idea for establishing America for the white man, as our forefathers intended it to be, for them and their posterity. Now, thanks to the Jew, white man hasn't got any homelands anymore, really. Everything's all mixed up and mongrelized with all of the lower races. And there probably aren't going to be any white children unless the white man does something pretty dramatic to create the white man's homelands and secure them for himself. So to that end, I suggest we forget all about building a big wall along the southern border of the United States and just drive the Mexicans into South America and claim Mexico for our own. It seems to me this is a completely responsible reaction to their plan, which they call Reconquista, to take over our country, namely California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. I mean, how lame are we that we just lie down and play dead while they rape the Statue of Liberty at the rate of 1 million illegal Mexicans a year? I consider it an act of war to do that kind of thing. And then each one of these illegal aliens brings over another 8 with them. So pretty soon, we're just going to be a country of Mexicans. I mean, just ask the Mexicans. They're the first to tell you, ha ha, we're taking over your country. Well, I maintain that just because they're not using guns doesn't make it any less of an act of war. The fact that they're using their own reproductive power to destroy us still requires a strong military response. I think we should drive them down to the Panama Canal, kick them into South America, and claim all of North America for ourselves. The reason I like this is because then we only have to defend about a 5-mile border down there at the Panama Canal instead of the 1,000-mile border that we've been contemplating. We will claim all of North America for the white man. That's fair because the white man is one of the three great races. The yellow man has Asia, the black man has Africa, the white man should have North America. So there's nothing wrong with that. We just drive the Mexicans down, put them down in South America, cork the bottleneck at the Panama Canal, and we can have a country. Then we take the Statue of Liberty, put her on a ship, drive her down to that Panama Canal on a ship, set her up in South America, and point that away for all of the world's homeless and pathetic and downtrodden and handicapped people. See what I mean? Isn't that great? And as far as the Negroes are concerned, get them over to their spiritual fatherland, which is Africa. Leave the white man alone. If you would agree that we should take over Mexico, then you would immediately see that we have a lot to gain by taking over Mexico. It's not like fighting a war in Iraq where only Israel stands to gain the oil, the water, and the land. Finally, if we would address our attention to our border and drive the Mexicans out of Mexico, then we would gain all of Mexico's oil, water, and land. See how nice it is? Suddenly our soldiers would have a reason for fighting. They could stake a claim in Mexico and say, this is where I'm putting up my yurt. You know, we'd have something to offer our military. Well, if you're sitting on the fence now, I think you better get your little butt off the fence and walk on down to the Panama Canal, because that's where all the brown people are going to have to go. Down to the Panama Canal, cross that little bit of water into South America, and then we're going to put a big cork in the Panama Canal so that we can keep all of our white people on this side of it and all of the brown people on the other side of it. We need more space. The Mexicans have declared war on us. They're essentially taking us over. We seem to want to be fighting a war. That's why we're wasting our energy in Iraq for no good reason whatsoever. Let's at least focus on a target that we want to win. We can use Mexico. Just drive the Mexicans down to the Panama Canal, kick them over into South America, drag the Statue of Liberty on a big boat from New York to the Panama Canal, and point to, you know, down to South America and tell everybody, that's where you take all your downtrodden, pathetic, pitiful messes. Don't bring them here anymore. Go south, young man. Go south. The question is it feasible to take over Mexico? I think it probably is. I think if we could turn the tide on the Mexicans who are presently invading us at the rate of 1 million a year, so that we could stand up to them and say, no, we're not going to let you declare war on us and take over our country. We are going to declare war on you and take over your country and get everybody down there on the border that cares about America. Of course, that lets the military out because they're already over there in Iraq serving the Jews. But I'm talking about good Americans who care about this country. Just grab your guns, go down to the border, start shooting all the Mexicans until they turn around and go the other direction, and then keep shooting and just walk them down past Mexico to the Panama Canal, over the Panama Canal, into South America, put the cork on the jug of the Panama Canal so they can't get back up here, and we'd have all that living space for ourselves. The point is, the white race is going extinct. We're being exterminated thanks to the Jew-promoted concept of embracing our black and brown brothers and sisters who are intermarrying with us, and because of our recessive genes, our children and our children's children will turn out to look like Klingon monsters if we don't put a stop to this immediately. So rather than having mongrel children, I suggest that we drive the blacks and browns out of the white man's homelands. It's only fair. The yellow man has Asia, the black man has Africa, the white man deserves to have a homeland of his own so that he can secure the future of his children. It's not asking too much. Defending a 1,000-mile border is difficult. I suggest we just go down, have a war on the border, and once we gain the tactical advantage, just march the Mexicans right on down through Mexico, across the Panama Canal, put them into South America, and keep them there. I don't expect my idea to gain favor right away. We have to lay a framework down first. We have to convince the world that the white man has the right to survive. Presently, the world has agreed with the Jew that the white man should be exterminated. That's what has to change. Once we prevail upon the good intentions of the world to make them understand that we, one of the three great races, do have a right to survive, then everything falls into place. Suddenly, it's obvious why we have to get the blacks and browns out of North America. Where else can the white man have his homelands except in the country that was created by his ancestors for themselves, the founding fathers, and their posterity? Where else? We have to have a homeland. It might as well be North America. I know the Jew is going to respond to my idea with foul, filthy talk and plenty of personal invectives and slander. But I can be generous because, after all, the white man is going to survive and the Jew is not going to survive. Because one of the things that I will be doing in clearing out North America for the white man will be to send the Jew to Israel. You see, we gave Israel to the Jew so that they could have a homeland. Remember? Let them go to that homeland. That's the end of the Jew. The Arabs are increasing their numbers 10 times faster than the Jews. There is going to be, I think in the world there's only about 6 million Jews alive. Isn't it funny how that 6 million Jew thing just keeps coming back over and over again? So let's say that there are 6 million Jews alive on the planet today, and we push the ones in America into Israel as part of this campaign to secure the existence of the white race and the future of white children here in North America. As I said, driving the brown people down to South America, getting the black people into their spiritual homeland, which is Africa, and sending the Jews to Israel. That way, the white man has North America and the Jew has Israel. Well, that wouldn't feel very good, knowing how evil the Jew has been to us, except for the fact that there are only 6 million Jews alive today. So when we have 6 million Jews in Israel and 1.5 billion Arabs in the rest of the Middle East, it'll just take a matter of minutes before the Arabs realize what they must do. And then they will start their march westward to Israel and push the Israelis right into the sea at just about the same time that we get the Mexicans pushed over into South America. More than 1 million criminal immigrants assault our borders every year, subjecting our Statue of Liberty to a gang rape the likes of which this world has never seen. This is not by accident. The architects of America's destruction, the communists, stated in their Communist Manifesto almost 100 years ago that America would have to be destroyed from within, since force would never be sufficient to destroy America from without. To this end, the plan was to convince the white American leadership, which at that time was 95% of America's population being white, that they should feel guilty about their abundance and share with the blacks and browns around the world, opening their borders and paying welfare benefits to heavily proliferating blacks and browns. Now, 50 years after the immigration rules have been changed, no longer allowing educated, cultured white people in and giving favoritism to crippled and handicapped Somalians, and the borders go unguarded, we're in a position where we've been had war declared on us by the Mexicans, and it's time for us to respond with force, not just by closing the borders, but by turning the immigration around, driving the Mexicans down to the Panama Canal, and then locking up the Panama Canal, taking a Mexican over for ourselves, in a profound answer to Vicente Fox that America is not to be attacked in this manner. You can't have an intelligent discussion about the border problem and leave out the question of race, much as you want to do that because you've been taught over and over again that it's a nasty, terrible crime against humanity to distinguish between this race and that race. So you tie your own hands behind your back in any kind of intelligent discussion where basically the conflict is between people of two different races. In this case, the Mexicans and the other non-whites who come into Mexico and America's white majority. Oh my God, did I do a boo-boo again? Did I allude to the fact that America is still a 67% white majority? Well, shut my mouth and call me dumb. That's a terrible thing to do. The majority has no right to call the shots. The majority is supposed to submit its will to the various and sundry minorities. At least that's what we're taught. But if we do that, we destroy our country. You can't have a society without some kind of racial and cultural cohesiveness. This country was founded by white upper-class Christians. They were intelligentsia. They were the aristocracy and nobility from Europe, and they wanted, actually from England, and they wanted to make out of America a brave new world where the upper class could flourish and create for itself a country for itself and its posterity, meaning the upper class, the elite, white people, wanted to have this idealistic society where everyone would pull his own weight. They knew when they wrote those founding documents that you couldn't have a democracy unless every single citizen was educated, cultured, well-motivated, well-meaning, responsible, and willing to pull his weight. That's why when our country was started, only free white persons were allowed to come to this country. Number one, because this country was founded for white people and their posterity, and number two, because it was understood that if you let irresponsible, uneducated, undisciplined elements into the society, they would take advantage of their vote, and instead of voting for the good of all, they would vote for their own self-interests. That's why when the communists decided to destroy America, they knew the way to destroy America, since there would never be sufficient force, would be to pervert the whole motive of the founding fathers by letting in irresponsible elements who would use the vote for their own self-interest. This country was not founded by lower class people. The land was peopled in 1650 and up to 1750 by lower class people because they were sent from England on ships as punishment to live over here. They were the lower class white people. But after 100 years or more, they built up enough community in the colonies to attract the interest of the upper class intelligentsia from England. And it was the lords and the ladies of England, the nobility, the aristocracy, the intelligentsia that came over here, like George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and wrote the constitutional documents. The reason our country is so idealistic and intelligent is because the constitutional documents and the supporting documents were written by brilliant, upper-class, intelligent, educated men. These were the founding fathers. Today, the children of the founding fathers can't get a word in edgewise in the form of debate because the enemies of this country have castigated them so severely with lies about their cruel nature, trying to give blankets full of smallpox to the Indians, which of course is not true, and beating to death all of these Negro slaves, putting the white man, the upper class white man especially, in a bad light, which isn't true when you look at the white man from the perspective of history. After all, it wasn't just the upper class Southern white American who had slaves in the 1700s and 1800s, it was worldwide. The truth is, only the American people fought a civil war to end slavery. But it's the American white man who is castigated most heavily for crimes against black people, which is absurd. You have to listen to your founding fathers and the people who've been trained by the founding fathers and stop listening to the communist element within you if you want the brave new world that was created for you and your posterity, if you are, of course, connected in any way with the Anglo-Americans of this country, who at one time comprised 95%. In fact, as recently as the Second World War, this country was 95% white and over 50% German. Because this country has been targeted by its enemies, the society and social order of the white man is quickly being destroyed by immigration and proliferation of blacks and browns from within. You simply have to understand where your loyalties lie. If you want a world in which there's apple pie, motherhood, and white picket fences, you're going to have to lean on the side of the white man. If you want a world of graffiti and crime, illegitimate children, then go ahead on the path you're on. Kill off the white man and enjoy living in a state where you have reverted to an animal level. The black man is totally unsuitable to living in the white man's world. The black man proves it every time he demands reparations for what the white man has given to him, namely entree into the finest society this planet has ever produced, having been rescued from lions and tigers and bears, clitorectomies, scarification, tyrants beyond your worst dreams. Idi Amin was actually a cannibal, and they're still practicing cannibalism in Africa. So let's not talk about the noble savage anymore. Let's turn our attention to saving ourselves from the noble savage, and let the savage be saved from us. To this end, I suggest that we go into our prisons, which are peopled with over 50% black people, and tell them, we will give you an get out of jail free card, if you will go to Africa and give up your American citizenship. I believe at least 50% of the presently incarcerated black men would be willing to do that and would set up colonies in Africa, very much the way the original white people who were criminals set up colonies here. Then, after they had set up some colonies with the help of us and our consultation, we would give them military consultation and some money to build up an infrastructure. Then they would attract the ghetto Negroes from our country, who would then attract the middle-class Negroes, who would finally attract the upper-class Negroes worldwide, just as America in 1776 had been built up by the lower and middle classes of white people to the point where the intelligentsia and aristocracy from Britain came over and drafted our Constitution and put us on the road to enlightenment. I suggest that the upper-class blacks worldwide would do the same thing in Africa.
Anger is not a crime against humanity, but suppressing emotion with medication is a crime against humanity, introduced to this planet by our friends, the communist Jews in Russia, where if you dissent against the government, they actually grab you off the streets, take you into their psychological hospitals, give you lobotomies and medications until you change your attitude and become healthy-minded. That's why we have to drive the black man out of America. He embraces communism and all of its lower class ideals, like medicating anger. The white man has to be in touch with his emotions in order to express his ideas that create and invent the technologies and philosophies of the future. The black man who purports to be a leader in America is a charlatan if he dares to address the white man's problems, especially with such solutions as get medicated. The true leader of the black race would be spearheading an effort to civilize Africa and bring it out of the Dark Ages into the First World, into the modern age. So we really need to stop listening to the black voice in America and send him to Africa. See, the white man doesn't know what to do about the black man's lack of emotional control, but you will never hear the white man telling the black man to medicate himself. The white man knows that liberty begins with the right to be who you are, to feel your own feelings. So it's not the white man that's calling for medication on the black man. It's the black man who's calling for medication on the white man, because the black man is under the control of the communists who have assaulted Christianity by introducing psychology with its concomitant medication of antisocial emotions. This is a white Christian country, not an atheistic country, not a medicate yourself into oblivion country. But what are we to do with the black man who has 8 times the testosterone of the white man and only 75% of the frontal lobes? We have in the black man a subhuman, animalistic creature who needs to live his own life in his own area with his own homelands, giving birth to his own children and creating his own civilization. The same civilization can never work for both white and black. That's why I suggest that we give a get-out-of-jail-free card to all of our black prisoners to let them begin to colonize Africa, which will then attract other prisoners, then ghetto blacks, then lower-class blacks, middle-class blacks, and finally the upper-class intelligentsia of the black race, who can actually figure out what kind of civilization does the black man need for his own brave new world that will be adequate to satisfy the needs of a creature who has 8 times the testosterone of the white man and only 75% of the problem-solving capabilities. It's not that I don't like the blacks, it's that I recognize the difference between the whites and the blacks and the total futility of trying to make a society that works for both of them. The black man is not my brother. I know who my brothers and sisters are. I know by looking at them. My brothers and sisters look like me. The black man has big, thick teeth. The dental structure is entirely different. The jaw structure is entirely different. The frontal lobes are fully 75%, are fully 25% smaller than the frontal lobes of my brothers and sisters. The folds on the brain are much simpler and broader on the black man than on the white man. My brothers and sisters think quickly and are very flexible in their thought process, as am I. I do not recognize the black man as my brother, and I refuse to be in the same schools with the black man, work in the same work area as the black man, go to the same church as the black man, because I want to ensure and secure the survival of my children and my children's children. I don't want my children's children to look like the black man, and that's my right. That's my inalienable right to associate with the people of my choice. This country was founded by white people for white people. Without this country, the white man has no homelands upon which to secure the existence of their own white children. The black man has Africa. The yellow man has Asia. The white man is entitled to the white man's homelands, and the black man needs to appreciate that and cooperate until it's time for him to make his break into his spiritual fatherland and leave us alone. We are a good people. We white people invented castles, museums, and churches while the black man was still living in mud huts and had no written language. How dare the black man criticize the white man's social order? The black man had better just be grateful he's allowed to share in the white man's destiny until the white man has figured out a solution to get rid of the black man, because the white man is no longer going to take any instruction from the black man. We don't want to revert to primitivism. We don't like ghetto blasters. Our people are not going to become cannibals, and our women are not going to be made into whores. So you can take your MTV, Everybody Hug and Kiss a Nigger, and shove it up your big black ass. Thank you for listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's edition of The Hola Hoax. Next week, same time, same station.